Hi, everybody. This is Nan Voss from nandavoss.com, and you are listening to the Breakup Club podcast, the show that turns heartbreak into transformational success. Today's episode, I am going to be revealing my breakup story. Yeah, I am going to be a little vulnerable, but just in case, if you have not heard my trailer, I am a 2-time divorcee, a domestic violence survivor, a former serial dater, and I had many heartbreaking relationships that wasn't even worth it. But I have my lovely assistant, Lady of Life, and she's going to be interviewing me on how I went from a dysfunctional and toxic relationship into creating the life that I deserve. Stay tuned. I can't even feel without being labeled angry and bitter. Alone I sit crying rivers, the pain and hurt I feel suppressing it deep. Don't want the cycle to repeat, I just really won't release. Self-worthiness, love and peace, I understand, have a seat. Welcome to the Breakup Club. Yeah, the Breakup Club. Yeah, the Breakup Club. Welcome to the Breakup Club. Yeah, the Breakup Club. Yeah, the Breakup Club. Yeah. Welcome to the Breakup Club podcast with your host, breakup and self-love coach, Nan Ross. Before I get into today's episode, please be sure to do your girl a favor and subscribe to the Breakup Club podcast for more relationship healing tips on how to stop repetitive, dysfunctional relationship cycles, how to protect your precious heart without closing it off completely so you can jump back into the dating scene, and how to use pain to tap into your inner greatness. Let's get started. Take it away, Lady of Life.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm super excited to get you interviewed, get your story out there, and let's get started.
Yes.
So first question I have for you. Why okay. did you stay in a toxic relationship for 15 years?
Well, I was kind of toxic too. you gotta think about it. You know, originally when we first got into a relationship, we wasn't toxic, but when you get on each other's nerve and I'm not getting to respond for him because of the silent treatment and then all the other drama that I'm going to talk about later on, it actually becomes a normal behavior. So toxic people get with other toxic people, and most likely they stay in a relationship because it just feels normal.
Okay.
So there was times when, you know, of course, I had to defend myself because even as a domestic violence survivor, it's not like he was beating the hell out of me and I was just sitting there allowing him to do that. No, you know, because I fight back. But it got to the point where I couldn't, because it was so much bigger. He was, under the influence of drugs, and it got to the point where I had to be passive. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that once I was passive, it didn't help. It just made him more angry. So, but it's something that it took me so long to break that habit, because I thought that was just normal. Like, you're supposed to be fighting for your relationship. Yeah. If you love that man, you're going to go through thick and thin. Right? You're going to go through whatever it takes to try to save the relationship. That was one reason. And it's a dysfunctional way of thought, right? Yeah. But, you know, I was so young. I'm talking about, we got married at 19. The other reason is unrealistic expectation. You know, so I thought back to, you know, being toxic. I thought that I had to fight for my man, try to fight because he had multiple side chicks, and my thing is, hey, you better get your man. You better protect your man. You can't let no other woman, you know, take him from you. So that was something that I thought it was normal, even though I didn't see it. I didn't see that, you know, growing up with my parents. They had their arguments. Don't get me wrong. My mom, she didn't play, but it wasn't like pulling knives and, you know, throwing barbells. It wasn't that crazy. The other reason is, of course, insecurities.
Okay.
Right. So I had this fear of rejection. You know, I was saying to myself, like, if we break up, I'm going to be a single mom. Like, I would look like a failure. I mean, my relationship didn't work out. I mean, I got married with my twin sister. And if her relationship is, marriage is still going on and I'm divorced, it just looks like I failed.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be alone. You know, it was just the anger, resentment, revenge. It was like tit for tat. Mm-hmm. Oh, you gonna cheat on me? I'm gonna cheat on you too. Oh, you gonna accuse me? I'm just gonna go out and do it. So it was just really childish behaviors that kind of made me stay because it was so much drama. And sometimes, you know, misery loves company.
Okay.
So that was one of the reasons why I actually stayed that long. And then, you know, we were struggling financially, and if I was on my own, it would be worse. So I had this belief that I cannot make it without a man.
Okay.
You know, my mom even told me, she said, you're not going to be able to make it without your husband. And, you know, even though I still left, I had this fear. And then even a couple of months after I finally got my first apartment, we wound up getting back together because it's like, what if I lose my job? Or what if, you know, I can't pay the utility bills? And what if I get evicted? So I was making up all these excuses and scenarios that really didn't exist.
Okay.
So that way, that at the same time, I felt like I had to go back to that nonsense.
Okay. Understandable.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, especially being in relationships. It's like, how do you get out not knowing a way to even get out? So it's understandable.
Yes.
The next question I have for you would be, what were the red flags that you ignored?
Oh, wow. Well, the first one I've noticed before we got married was the silent treatment. If we had an argument about something or even a disagreement, he would give me the silent treatment for days.
Okay.
And then after we got married, those silent treatment went from days to almost a week. So imagine you living with someone who's supposed to be your other half, your spouse, and you're not talking. So he's in another room. I don't know why we got a two-bedroom apartment. The second bedroom was where we had our iguanas. I don't know why in the hell we spend money on a two-bedroom apartment. But I guess that was his way of, you know, just staying away from me.
Right.
You know? And I'm trying to think. I was like, damn, was I that bad? Like, you know, we used to have fun. But he was times where, you know, as far as affection, when I, you know, just go give him a hug and kiss, he goes, you're making me hot. You know? And,
right.
After a while, it'd be just like, okay, so you're not attracted to me anymore. You don't love me anymore. So those were the signs that, you know, I figured that, hey, you know, we could work this marriage out. If we could just talk to the elders in the congregation, we can, you know, go to counseling. He didn't want to go to counseling. We did talk to the elders in the congregation. And, you know, of course, they gave the feedback. And I was willing to try to make the marriage work. And, you know, it takes two to make it work.
Okay.
So that was one, the silent treatment. The second one was Dear Keisha. So this is the letter that at the time he was my fiance, and this was a couple of days before the wedding. So he wrote this letter to his ex-girlfriend. So apparently he dumped his girlfriend to go out with me. And I didn't know that at first, you know, because he told me about his girlfriend. And yeah, I'm like 15, 16 years old. And I was like, you know, maybe you should work things out between you and your girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. He came back a week later and said, we had an argument, we broke up. So anyway, so I found this letter in the top dresser because and I wasn't snooping. I was helping my fiance to move his stuff out of his apartment to get into my our apartment, right?
Okay.
So when you engage, there's no such thing as snooping.
We are here together.
Exactly. So this letter I found, it basically said, you know, I'm sorry for breaking your heart. I made a big mistake. And I'm like, what the? I miss you, and I will always love you. I'm like, oh, hell no. I tore the whole room up. I tore it apart. I took the ring off, and I threw it at him. And I was like, well, if you love Keisha, why don't you go marry her? And he's just like, you know what the first thing he said? Why are you going through my stuff? And I'm like, dude, we're about to get married. We're not supposed to be hiding anything, but obviously you're hiding your feelings. So to make a long story short, you know, I called off I called off the wedding.
Okay.
But my family talked me out of it. And I think it was more of an embarrassment to the family because they were coming into town that week. So it was more like, oh, it's a double wedding and, you know, you're going to ruin it because of a letter. Right. You know, and he apologized. He cried. He got on his knees and whatever. He's always crying when he does something wrong. That's the thing. That's another side when he's not crying. So baby, please, baby, 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 please. Whatever. And then the night of the wedding,
okay.
We came back to the hotel, and he said that one of his boys that came in from New York had to go back to the airport. And he had to go take him to the airport. You know, this dude didn't come back until hours later. On my wedding night. Came in, took a shower. Because I took a shower coming back and you all sweating and stuff like that. But there's no telling what he was doing. But anyway, took a shower, came into bed. I think we slept for maybe like an hour after that. Then we had sex. And then the next morning I get up, he's just like, you're going to open up the cards? I said, for what? He said, you know your family got money and they put money in there. Let's go see how much money is in there. And I was like, why would you want to, come on. He was like, well, we're late on rent. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, after marriage and then after having, you know, our son, it just got worse.
Yeah.
I mean, multiple side chicks. I mean, they were calling me up and just be like, you know, I got your man right now. Just really childish stuff. Financially, in the beginning, he was paying the bills. But I think financially, doing it by herself, it was a little stressful. So he had difficulty paying for that until I had to step in.
Wow.
But yeah, those were the flags, you know.
Okay. All right. Wow. It sounds like you've been through some interesting situations.
Oh, girl. I mean, it's my life has been, you ever heard of the Dark Night of the Soul?
Yes.
Okay. I've been through that a couple in my lifetime. It seems like it was happening like every year or so. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went through a lot, but, wow. You know.
Okay, next question. Next question for you. So, you've mentioned before that you've been through two divorces and other situationships. What positive lessons do you think you've learned from them?
Oh, wow. I learned a lot. The first thing is it's okay to let go.
Okay.
Right? I think my biggest fear is to let go. My biggest fear was the rejection and abandonment. But as you go through life, you realize that people, especially when you're in a relationship or marriage, it may not last forever. And most relationships don't. They don't. I think with me is letting go of, especially someone who really did not love me. Yeah. Now he can, he would swear and tell you, you know, Nan, how much I love you, blah, blah, blah. But it's not love. It's more of a, the love of control.
Okay.
Versus loving who I am. Because if you love someone, you would not hurt them.
Exactly.
The way he did. So one is letting go of dependency. Right. So financially. So my first husband, which was my son's father, he actually taught me to be. And I don't think he realized he taught me this lesson, how to be financially independent. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's my lesson here on this planet. As far as my comic lesson is not to depend on other people to satisfy my financial and emotional needs, okay. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Right. I'm not saying, oh, I don't need a man and but it's not, has nothing to do with, I think everyone should be self-sufficient in some form of fashion. Okay. The other one is to let go of obsessive relationships. So back to that toxic and dysfunctional relationship that I've been in, it was very obsessive, right? Mm-hmm. And it's addictive. And, you know, it's back to, this is what I was familiar with. So it felt comfortable. That's why I keep going back. Didn't realize it was more detrimental to not only my health, but, you know, even to my son, because he have seen that. I've also learned how to overcome the fear of rejection. My second husband actually taught me, he was the one who got me into spirituality, which is crazy. Like to this day, you know, I really give him props and I do care for him because he was the one who actually showed me that we had to look beyond our five senses, right? Look beyond the physical realm. And how he used to say all the time that a black woman is closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
So he was teaching me, hey, to get into meditation, to get into the Reiki healing, the crystal healing, the Kundalini, this is all the stuff I really didn't know. And I was scared to learn more about it because it was totally the opposite of my belief system. But once he showed me how, if you tap into your sixth sense, then you can actually manifest just about anything you want. So, but yeah, with him, it was spirituality. It was, also learn how to let go of, you know, over-attachment in childhood. So I talked about letting go of financial dependency. And just to achieve financial and emotional security. So if it wasn't, if I did not go through that chaos. Oh, it's another thing too. To overcome the fear of crisis. Because when I was with my second husband, I was actually going through, my son was actually going through a high profile case in Florida. And it was all over the news every single day. And as a mother seeing that, it was, I fell apart. Like, oh my God, this is the worst thing that ever, I would never imagine I would actually go through this. This tops the cheating, this was like everything I've been through in life it was not even close to what I was going through. But I realized that I had to have strength, and if it wasn't for my second husband, he was there. He was very supportive. But you know, it didn't work out, but that's another story. But basically learning the lessons that I went through while I was going through the dark nights of the soul.
Describe your healing journey.
Okay, so just like I was mentioned about my second ex-husband, it is weird how I say the first ex-husband, the second one, anyway, he's the one who actually got me into mind science, right? So mind science is really exploring the potential of the human mind. And as a child, I've always been in science, and I've always wanted to figure out, like, how can I be a genius? How can I be a female Einstein? You know, so that was one of the reasons why I got into computer science, but really learning how to tap into the unknown. What can I do now for me to be smarter, better? You know, so I had that obsession as a child. So I got into mind science. I also got into energy healing modalities. So what I'm talking about, crystal healing. And crystals at the time is, I was introduced to crystal while I was going through some problems with my son. So that was a lifesaver at that time. But I also got into Reiki healing. I got into EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, which is the tapping to help release energy blockage. Got into NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, back to the mind. It's how do we reprogram the subconscious mind to change reality? That's why I was really big with law of attraction, but it wasn't, I mean, law of attraction does work, but it was just like, okay, that's all I have to think about it and then manifest. But when I've learned it, emotions are energy. So the heart and the mind have to be incoherent for it to actually make a shift or change, even in our DNA and cells. So I was started dipping and dabbing into that, you know, got into meditation. And then all of a sudden I've noticed there was a tremendous shift in my, not only my thoughts, my behaviors, and my belief, but my reality. So I was dipping and dabbing so many different energy healing modalities, and I was like, okay, I need to focus on, like, have just a few where I can be consistent and I can do every single day and then test that out. So I was more like, you know, like a scientist, right? So just like, you know, as a programmer, you know, programming scripts, you know, I have to create the scripts. I have to test the script. And then perform the test. And then if there's any glitches, I have to go back and make the changes. And that's what I was doing for the last, we're talking about 8 years or so. So during that journey, it was just me learning to me being okay, being alone, even though I wasn't lonely, because there was so much information that I was receiving, downloads I was receiving during meditation. So I was fascinated. I was like, you know, I don't need to talk to nobody. I'm good exploring, you know, the dark side of things. And when I say dark side, it's not always a negative thing. It's just the unknown. So that was part of my spiritual journey. And then, you know, I doubled my income. I was living in Florida, and then I didn't like it because there was so much that was going on. I wanted to come back home, but I did not want to go through the hassle of trying to look for a job. And then I started practicing self-love meditation to the point where, you know, every day when I'm in traffic, I'm, you know, saying affirmations and feeling it. And the next thing I know, I get an email from someone that I've worked with years, I'm talking about like 10 years prior to that, say, hey, I got an opportunity in Atlanta and you'll be perfect for this position. And it was just like so crazy. I guess the universe was saying, girl, you need to get the hell out of a relationship because I told you he's not who you say he is. But it came easy. So people started noticing a shift in my life. They noticed that I'm happier. I went back into my childhood. I started drawing. I started painting. I started having so much fun that my life just totally changed. Totally changed. And then that's when I said, okay, now I'm ready to take the energy healing publicly, started a website, created a online course, which was the money healing, because it was like, for anything, my relationship sucks, but my money's looking good. So I can at least tell people how to heal from that. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, having over 700 students in 53 countries. So yeah, that's where I'm at. So now it is so ironic because I just went through another breakup, over like a month and a half ago. And I realized that, hey, it's time for me to get back into healing that as well again. But this time I know it's okay to let go, how to gracefully let go, stop being attached to certain behaviors. And then, right now I'm going through that healing process, and that's why I created this podcast, because I kind of did that alone. I had family, I had friends, but after you keep, saying, you know what he did? This motherfucker did this and this. Eventually your family members, your friends are going to get tired of it. They'd be like, oh God, like, man, you good. You're going to be fine. You're going to get over it. But, that's why I wanted this platform. So, we won't get tired of hearing our stories because, we've been through it, and I want to build a community of ladies, of healers, of, therapists and counselors who can also come in and offer advice as well. Yes, it's the platform to talk about our emotions, bring our emotions to the surface, because we're so conditioned to suppress it. Because we have this weight of the world on our shoulders, and we're supposed to be this strong Black woman, but it's okay. It's okay for us to release. It's okay for us to be angry, but we talk about it, we feel the emotions, but the next step is about self-reflection, right? Because it takes two for a relationship to fall apart. So it's more of the lessons that you've learned. What are some of the mistakes or behaviors that contribute to the breakup? It's about accountability, right? And then taking the action steps. Just like you get up and take a shower, brush your teeth, healing should also be part of our daily routine, right? So that's why I'm here. It's kind of help show, hey, these are the actions you can take. Not everyone can do the silent meditation, but hey, there's sound frequency, there's mantras, there's walking meditation, there's mindful meditation, there's moving meditation. So it's, coloring. Adult coloring is meditation. So, that's why I think my purpose here in life, and I thank Jehovah God, wanted me to go through those major crises for me to not only bounce back and be resilient, but also teach others out there, whether it's men or women, and how to recover and, overcome, pain, pain in general. I feel so much better just releasing all of that. Woo! Woo, woo, woo. But anyway, thank you, everyone. Happy healing, love, and peace. Bye.
Well, that concludes this episode of the Breakup Club podcast with your host, breakup and self-love coach, Nan Ross. Be sure to join our private Breakup Club podcast Facebook group to share your stories and submit your questions.